So, welcome to the deep dive. What if I told you that you could completely replace a workflow that costs, $15,000 a month?
Which is a huge budget for most teams.
Right, a massive budget.
Right.
A $15,000 a month, 18-hour-a-day content and development workflow. What if you could replace all of that with a system that costs exactly $0?
It sounds like, tech utopian fiction, like somebody's just making it up.
It really does. But today we're looking at this open source case study from a technology and gaming platform. They're called Teching Game. And they literally just published the exact blueprints on how they actually pulled this off.
Yeah, and the scale of it is what's so fascinating.
Exactly. They orchestrated 239 autonomous AI agents to run their entire multilingual publishing operation. And they dropped a 6-hour process down to just 15 minutes.
It's wild.
So our mission today is to extract their exact architecture,
Sure.
right? We're going to figure out how you, listening right now, can deploy this on your own laptop by the end of the week.
Because the barrier to entry for building like a massive global media operation, it's effectively vanished. Teching Game didn't go out and buy some massive enterprise software suite.
Right.
They used completely free tools, and they built this structural, repeatable matrix that really just changes how we have to think about scaling a digital business today.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because we need to set the baseline here. We really have to look at nightmare scenario that Teching Game was stuck in before they built this whole matrix.
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. So they publish highly technical gaming content, but across three very different languages. We're talking Persian, English, and Arabic.
Which presents just a severe scaling bottleneck because, translating highly nuanced technical jargon across different linguistic structures,
Yeah.
you can't just run that through a basic online translator.
No, it turns into garbage.
Exactly. It requires deep cultural and technical context.
So let's quantify that grueling traditional process they were doing. For just a single article, let's say it's a deep dive into the latest Unreal Engine update. First, they had to do 45 minutes of
It's
research.
just to get the facts straight.
Right. Then, writing the comprehensive Persian article to their actual journalistic standards, that took 2 hours.
So we're already at almost 3 hours.
Almost 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Then the English translation, where they have to preserve the tone and all that technical terminology, took another hour and a half.
Followed by the Arabic translation. And that version specifically had to be adapted for Gulf region culture.
Which is not just a direct word swap.
No, not at all. It added another hour just to ensure local idioms and like cultural sensitivities were actually respected.
Wow. Okay, so from there, you still have 30 minutes of SEO optimization for all three distinct versions.
Yep.
Designing and implementing the UI components so the article actually looked cohesive took 45 minutes. And then finally, 30 minutes for quality assurance.
So when you add all that up,
It totals 6 hours and 15 minutes for one single article.
right.
At a standard $50 an hour, they were bleeding $312.50 per post.
And in modern digital media, one article a day just doesn't keep the lights on. You need
They
volume.
needed 3 to 5 articles a day.
Yeah.
That meant up to 30 hours of manual labor every 24 hours.
It's impossible.
It is. Even splitting that among a 5-person team leads to severe burnout. You get, end-of-day typos, translation drift, forgotten meta tags. It's just this unsustainable grind.
And in a traditional business model, hitting that wall leaves you with basically two bad options.
Right. What are they?
Well, you either bloat your overhead by hiring a massive staff, which costs a fortune, or you lock yourself into an expensive SaaS ecosystem that kind of forces you to adapt your entire workflow to their specific software.
But Teching Game bypassed both of those options.
They did. They turned to the concept of role-playing games, actually, to organize their artificial intelligence.
Which brings us to the core of their solution, the guild system.
Yeah, this is so clever.
It really is. So, in an RPG, players group up by specialty, right? Your mages are in one guild, your warriors in another. Teching Game built 17 specialized guilds containing 239 highly specific AI agents.
239.
I have to push back here for a second. Managing 239 different bots sounds like an absolute organizational nightmare. Like, why not just write one massive master prompt for ChatGPT and tell it to do everything?
What?
It feels like we're trying to make a Swiss Army knife do the job of a specialized surgical team.
That surgical tomb analogy is actually the perfect way to visualize it. What's fascinating here is how micro-specialization solves the AI's core weakness,
Which is.
confusion. If you feed an LLM one massive master prompt, like asking it to write, translate, format HTML, and optimize meta tags all at the exact same time, you trigger context confusion.
Ah, so it just gets overwhelmed.
Exactly. The AI's attention mechanism gets diluted across all those conflicting instructions. So it starts blending the tone, dropping technical constraints, hallucinating weird formats. Micro-specialization is how you force reliability.
So by stripping away all the secondary tasks, you concentrate the AI's processing power on just a single micro-action.
Precisely. Like in their engineering guild, they have 18 isolated agents. There is a backend architect focused purely on API design. There is a database optimizer restricted only to query efficiency.
Wow.
A security auditor just hunting for vulnerabilities. And the content guild houses 21 distinct personas. The design guild has 15. They catalog data, marketing, gaming.
So for the developer listening right now, the immediate value here is really the documentation framework. Because having 239 agents cataloged means you never suffer from that blank page syndrome of prompt engineering.
Right, you never have to start from scratch.
You just pull the exact persona you need from the matrix.
And it democratizes institutional knowledge, you know? The prompt matrix essentially becomes a living wiki of the company's best practices, codified into instructions that just execute instantly.
Still, though, staring down a roster of 239 options is kind of overwhelming if you are trying to deploy this for the first time.
Oh, totally.
But thankfully, Tech and Game highlighted three MVP agents, they call them their three golden prompts, that deliver the absolute highest immediate return on investment.
Yeah, these are where you want to start.
So the first is their SEO strategist agent, which lives within the Content Guild.
And what's great is that most off-the-shelf SEO tools, they just tell you what keywords you're missing, right?
Yeah.
But this agent proactively restructures the content based on semantic search intent.
And the performance data they shared on this specific agent is just wild. So they took an existing article, a complete guide to Unreal Engine 5.5,
Yeah.
that was languishing way back at rank 38 on Google.
So, like page three or four, nobody's reading that.
Nobody.
Yeah.
The SEO strategist analyzed the search intent, generated a new optimized H2 and H3 hierarchy, injected semantic internal linking opportunities, and rewrote all the meta tags.
And what happened?
After that single pass, the article spiked to rank 5.
Page one.
Page one, resulting in a 320% boost in organic traffic.
See, an AI can evaluate term frequency, inverse document frequency, and semantic relevance across a 2,000-word document in like seconds.
Right.
A human editor physically cannot hold that many variables in their working memory simultaneously. It's just not possible.
Which flows perfectly into the second golden prompt they recommend, the multilingual translator. Now, we all know standard translation bots lack localization context, but Tech and Game built this forced compliance mechanism into the agent.
This was crucial for them because maintaining technical consistency across languages is notoriously difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you have an English concept like cloud computing, a standard translator might output three completely different literal interpretations in Persian depending on the surrounding sentence.
It's inconsistent.
Highly inconsistent.
But Tech and Game solved this by injecting an internal glossary directly into the system prompt. So they force the AI to check the glossary array before generating any output.
Right.
For example, the team decided the standard for cloud computing would be the local translation Rayanesh Abri rather than just keeping the English phonetics.
And because that key value pair is hard-coded into the agent's instructions, it overrides the AI's probabilistic tendency to just guess.
It hits the exact technical term every single time.
Yeah, and that kind of strict linguistic consistency prevents your documentation from becoming unreadable over time,
Right.
especially in highly technical fields.
Now, maintaining that kind of linguistic consistency is super impressive, but for the developers listening, linguistic bugs are nothing compared to logic bugs in the actual code base.
Oh, absolutely.
Did they build an agent to handle things like race conditions?
They did, and that is actually the third golden prompt, the debug expert.
Yeah.
Because passing a massive log file or, you know, thousands of lines of a code base to a human to find a memory leak, it's incredibly
That
inefficient.
time consuming.
Yeah. But the debug expert leverages the massive context windows of modern LLMs. You just feed it the error logs and the repository snippet.
It figures it out.
It maps the variable state changes backwards to find the exact line where the logic broke. Teking Games data showed their average bug resolution time plummeted from 45 minutes down to just 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
AI models are fundamentally pattern recognition engines, you know? Spotting an anomalous variable state 50 layers deep in a log file that is their native language.
Okay, so prompts and text outputs are incredibly powerful. But at the end of the day, a prompt is still just a text string sitting in a chat interface.
Right.
It doesn't actually explain how an AI reaches out and executes an action on the live internet. Like, if I ask a standard chat bot for today's crypto prices, it just tells me its training data cut off a year ago.
Exactly. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where we transition from generative text to autonomous execution.
Right.
Teking Game powers these agents using the REACT algorithm. That's R-E-A-C-T. It stands for reasoning and acting. It forces the language model into an autonomous, continuous loop of execution.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me. When I visualize this REACT loop, it feels like giving the AI hands and a clipboard.
That's a great way to put it.
It's like, imagine a sous chef in a professional kitchen, right?
Yeah.
The head chef asks for a specific dish. The sous chef checks the pantry. That's the thought and observation stage.
Right.
They realize they're missing an ingredient. So they physically leave the kitchen, go to the store, and buy the ingredient that is the action.
Yeah.
They return to the kitchen, observe that they now have everything, and only then do they construct the final dish.
And the REACT algorithm replicates that exact autonomy. It structures the AI's output into distinct, parsable phases. Thought, action, observation loop, and final answer.
The case study provided this brilliant demonstration of this using cryptocurrency. Let's walk you through the precise mechanics of it. So, a user queries the agent. What is the current price of Ethereum, and what is the value of 5.5 ETH.
Now, a standard LLM just fails here. But the React agent initiates the first phase, thought. It generates this hidden internal string stating, I need the real-time price of Ethereum to answer this.
So because it recognizes a gap in its own knowledge, it triggers the action phase.
Yes.
It formats a specific command string, something like action, web search, action input, Ethereum price, USD. And the underlying Python script intercepts that command, pauses the AI, and executes a live web search on its behalf.
Then the Python environment retrieves the search result. Let's say it's $3,240, and it feeds that back into the AI's context window as an observation.
Okay, so the AI ingests that observation and enters a second thought phase. It thinks, I have the current price. Now we need to calculate 5.5 multiplied by 3,240.
Right.
So it outputs a second action command. Action, calculator, action input, 5.5 times 3,240. The Python script runs the math, feeds the observation back, and the agent finally outputs the final answer.
Yeah.
The current price is $3,240, and 5.5 ETH equals $17,820.
It's so elegant. It broke a compound request into discrete logical operations, utilized external tools to gather real-time data, executed an arithmetic function, and synthesized a flawless result, all without any user intervention.
The fact that they orchestrated this for $0 is what's truly staggering to me.
Yeah.
They bypassed all those expensive enterprise wrappers and built this directly on the free tier of the Google Gemini API, which affords them 15 requests per minute.
And 15 requests a minute is massive bandwidth for an individual or a small team. They wired that API up using really simple open source Python libraries.
Like what?
Like Google Generative DAI for the language processing and Beautiful Soup 4 for scraping the live web data during that action phase.
Okay, so automating research, translation, and code debugging via Python scripts makes logical sense for a text-based AI. But what happens when you introduce visual aesthetics?
Ah, design.
Yeah, because user interface design requires mathematical consistency, and generative AI is notorious for failing at strict layout constraints. It usually just makes a mess.
It does. I mean, front-end development usually descends into chaos, even when multiple human beings touch the code base.
So true.
One developer hard-codes a button with 16 pixels of padding. Another developer builds a secondary page and uses 20 pixels. The CSS file becomes this graveyard of overlapping rules, and the UI just loses all visual cohesion.
Right. So to eliminate that chaos, Teking Game developed the Design System Generator. This agent bypasses human guesswork entirely by generating modular, accessible UI components using strict mathematics.
And the crucial mechanism here is that they completely abandoned RGB and hexadecimal color models for the generator. They relied exclusively on HSL, that's hue, saturation, and lightness.
Let's break down why that is so important. Because if you give a computer a hex code for blue and ask it to generate a slightly darker hover state, the math is incredibly complex.
Very messy.
But with HSL, the hue is just a degree on a color wheel. So the AI locks in the hue at, say, 217 degrees and simply reduces the lightness channel from 60% down to 50%. It makes color generation mathematically programmable.
And because that lightness channel is manipulated mathematically, the agent can guarantee that the background and text color pairings strictly adhere to WCAG 2.1AA accessibility standard.
Oh, that's huge.
It hits the required 4.5:1 contrast ratio automatically. Every single time.
And it applies that same mathematical rigor to typography and spacing, too. It pairs contrasting typefaces, like they use the geometric sans serif inter for headings, with the highly readable Source Serif Pro for body text.
A classic pairing.
Yeah. And it generates CSS spacing variables strictly on a 4-point scale, so 4, 8, 12, 16 pixels.
Because that strict scaling creates a subconscious sense of order for the user navigating the platform, everything just automatically aligns to an invisible grid.
And the source material actually included a snippet of the generated CSS variables, and the output is incredibly clean for a developer to implement.
Yeah, I saw that.
It outputs global tokens like color primary 500, HSL 217, 91%, 60%. Then it just references those globals in the component variables, like BTN padding, -xf, var space 6.
For anyone building a web platform right now, the utility here is immediate. You can utilize their free web tool, input one single hex code representing your brand's primary color, and the agent instantly generates hundreds of lines of perfectly calculated CSS variables, Tailwind configurations, or even Figma tokens.
Wow.
You literally copy-paste and deploy an entire design system in seconds.
Okay, so we have covered the RPG guild structure, the React algorithm executing live tools, and the mathematical design generator. This architecture sounds absolutely flawless on paper.
It does.
But we have to ground this in reality. Did this actually survive contact with the real world, or is it just a fun theoretical exercise?
Well, Tick and Game actually published their operational data for July 2026, which marks 6 months of production since their initial January rollout. So the data provides a pretty definitive answer.
And the metrics are unbelievable. The total production time per multilingual article dropped 96%. Plummeting from 6 hours and 15 minutes down to exactly 15 minutes.
Which is just
mind-blowing. Their content production overhead dropped from $15,000 a month down to zero. Daily publishing volume scaled from 3 articles up to 12.
Furthermore, by eliminating the sheer fatigue associated with 30 hours of daily manual labor, their operational error rate, the typos, the broken HTML tags, the mistranslations, it fell from 8% to just 0.5%.
Wow. And the audience engagement spiked right alongside the quality. Average time on site increased by 68%, reaching 4 minutes and 18 seconds.
That's massive retention.
It is. When you aggregate the $180,000 saved in annual production costs with $95,000 in new ad revenue, driven by a 221% boost in organic traffic.
Yeah, let's hear the total.
This free open source architecture generated $275,000 in total annual added value.
$250,000 from a free script.
But wait, if this system cuts production time by 96% and drops operational cost to zero, my immediate thought is that human writers and designers are getting fired en masse.
Right.
I mean, you don't cut $15,000 a month without cutting payroll.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean for the human team? Are they just sitting around drinking coffee? Did they fire everyone? What's the catch here?
This raises an important question, and it's one you'd naturally assume would lead to massive layoffs. The case study explicitly addresses this friction in their lessons learned segment.
Okay.
They actually did not fire the human team, but they did completely rewrite the fundamental nature of their jobs.
And the source data indicates human morale actually improved, right?
It did, yeah. Because the system removed the robotic, soul-crushing aspects of human labor. Like, nobody enjoys manually copying and pasting SEO tags or grinding through localized translation tables for hours.
No, it's terrible work.
Exactly. So by offloading the mechanical execution to the React agents, the human team redirected their hours into deep analytical research, conducting expert interviews and producing high-end video content. They moved up the value chain.
Which highlights their most critical lesson, I think. The human in the loop requirement. The AI does 95% of the heavy lifting, but humans must command that final 5%.
Always.
An AI can generate a grammatically flawless, mathematically perfect UI component or an article, but only a human editor can review that output and determine if the tone actually aligns with the publication's brand identity.
And that 5% human oversight is exactly where you catch the hallucinations too, because prompt engineering is an iterative process. When they first deployed the translator agent, it struggled with localized technical jargon until the human engineers intervened and hard-coded that internal glossary array into the system prompt.
Right.
It wasn't perfect on day one.
So if you are listening to this right now and planning your own deployment, the authors strongly advise against trying to build 239 agents on day one.
Oh, please don't do that.
Yeah, you have to start small. Taking Game initially launched with a core cluster of just 5 agents. A writer, a translator, an SEO strategist, a debugger, and a designer. You master the micro workflow, iron out the prompt logic, and only then scale into the full matrix.
And one final point of friction the case study resolves is the legal and factual integrity of the output.
Right, because if an AI makes up a fake statistic, your credibility as a publisher is completely destroyed.
Exactly. But they mitigate hallucinations directly through the React algorithm. By forcing the agents to utilize live web search tools and requiring them to actually cite the ingested URLs in their final output, they anchor the AI's reasoning to verifiable reality.
That's so smart.
And legally, because you are running these open source prompts locally via your own API keys, you retain full ownership of the generated content. You're not handing it over to a proprietary platform.
So let's wrap this up. The architecture deployed by Taking Game basically proves that you no longer need an enterprise budget to scale a highly technical multilingual operation today.
Not anymore.
By breaking complex workflows down into specialized RPG-style guilds and utilizing the React algorithm to grant those agents autonomous execution capabilities, you could drive a 96% increase in efficiency for exactly $0.
It's incredible.
And all the resources, every single prompt, code snippet, and design generator we discussed today is available completely free under the MIT license at TakingGame.com.
The barrier to scale is gone. The tools are openly available to literally anyone with an internet connection.
We want to encourage you to take the week one challenge outlined in the text. Visit the open source repository. Review the agent matrix. Pick 3 to 5 specific prompts that map directly to your daily bottlenecks.
Just a few to start.
Yeah, test them in Claude or ChatGPT this week and watch how it alters your output.
And, you know, this raises a final thought to really mull over as you start testing these tools. We emphasize the necessity of the human in the loop today.
Right.
But if a free open source script can now flawlessly and entirely automate the mechanics of writing, translating, debugging, and designing, what becomes the true defining value of human media in the future?
That's the big question.
If the raw execution of a project is now instant and free, does the entire global economy of content shift purely to the originality of the initial spark? Does our value distill down exclusively to the deep, unfakeable human connections we make in live video and original interviews?
If the AI handles the typing, we have to figure out what we're actually trying to say. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.